Live from Sacramento, California.
Woke up quick at about noon.
Featuring Damian Barling.
Yes, I absolutely still love Russell Westbrook. So what?
And Kenny Caraway.
Sometimes you're really just vibing out.
This is D-Lo and KC.
I'm the streets voice out west. Legendary self-made progress. Last time that I checked.
On ESPN 1320.
No doubt, and we're so happy that you're here with us. Welcome in to the Monday edition of D-Lo and KC, and what a Monday it is, boy! What a week!
Settle.
This is, man, it's going to be a fun week, bro.
It is, but settle down. We saw what we saw yesterday. Let's relax.
I ain't worried about that. I mean, we'll get to it, but I'm saying, yo, we've got Chris Paul on the Suns already.
Mm-hmm,
The moratorium has been lifted for all the 3 hours. We've already got that going on. James Harden wants out of Houston. He wants to go to Philly or Brooklyn, and Houston's like, cool story, bro. And then we got the draft coming up on Wednesday, 8 hours of draft coverage here on ESPN 1320, your home for Kings Talk all season. We got free agency opening up on Friday. Come on, man.
When you put it that way, Damian.
Come on, man.
You're right. This is a great way to get me to forget about the ills of yesterday. You're absolutely right. You didn't even mention the biggest thing that went down. What kicked off trade season SZN today? The Detroit Pistons trading Bruce Brown to the Brooklyn Nets for Dazan Musa and a 2021 second-round pick. That's what kicked off trade season.
I mean, it is what kicked it off, but is it really the headliner? Like, I mean, I get it. That was the first one. That was the first one that went out. Let me put my phone in a more viewable location, if you will, just in case the almighty Woj tweets during the show. He is our Lord and Savior, Adrian Wojnarowski here.
So you Woj over Shams?
I mean, I got both of them on alerts.
If you had to pick. Something about me. I like Shams.
Close. I like Shams too.
I think I'd go with Shams. No disrespect to Woj, but if I had to choose, I'd go Shams.
I think Woj had the Chris Paul news this morning first.
True.
I think Shams had the latest Harden update, what came just a few minutes ago.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, why do we got to pick?
There's
plenty of love.
Sports radio, that's what we got to do.
There's plenty of love to go around, man. Plenty of love to go around for Adrian Wojnarowski and Shams. Hey, you want to be a part of the show? You can. 916-349-1320. You want to take part in the Twitter chats? You can do that as well at D-Lo and KC on Twitter. Okay. Now we can get to the other part.
Come on.
So this entire week is going to be filled with sports goodness and just fantastic conversation and excitement and optimism and drama. And then there's going to be this part, which is filled with the 49ers.
Well,
couldn't even join me on the post-game show yesterday. You were so upset.
Yeah, man. It was touch and go. You know, I was pretty upset. Look, first of all, you know, I did have to, you know, had father duties. You know, shout out to my people. Shout out to my people at Sakura Hibachi Catering. They came through the crib, man, and put on a show for my son's birthday. You got to love it, man. But it was still probably better that I wasn't around for the post game show.
Well,
I'm not gonna say it was a stop the music type deal. I don't want to say it was a stop the music type deal. But yeah, I wasn't happy. So luckily, like I said, my people at Sakura Hibachi Catering, I'm just showing love because they did their thing, man. They killed it. I'm showing them love. They got me to just, you know, worry about, you know, some shrimp fried rice and some steak and stuff like that, and not worry about the Niners. Completely, I'm going to just say it, blowing a game in New Orleans. They blew the game in New Orleans. They blow it.
Yeah, kind of.
It's winnable.
It was, and so it's so funny, man, when you think about, we left Friday's show. We left the pregame show going, I don't see, like, this is tough. The Saints have put together a couple of wins. They've been winning scrappy games. Like, they've played really well. You know, they're starting, you know, they've really pulled themselves together after the first 3 weeks of the season. No path to victory. Don't see a path to victory here for the San Francisco 49ers. And it's, the game starts and you have that, like, 7-plus minute drive to start the game. And it's like, okay, that is exactly what we talked about in the postgame. You've got to limit Drew Brees' ability to be out there is what we talked about in the pregame. You've got to eliminate Drew Brees as much as you can when you're out there on the field. It's like, all right, it worked. And then, you know, a couple of possessions, things are going by. The 49ers get that long-awaited special teams play that they desperately needed.
Mm-hmm.
Only got three out of it, which was the immediate, like, oh, okay. They were really in position for seven there, but... And then it just started to kind of crumble after that. And it's weird. It's funny how your expectations change. You know, an hour earlier, we were like, I don't see the 49ers winning this game. An hour into the game, we're like, man, they might be able to get this one. And now it creates all sorts of disappointment once they wind up losing.
It, like I said, I did not see the pathway going into the game. I was watching the game. And I'll tell you when I got really concerned, all right? I got really concerned after, like you said, they made the big play, you know, to get the ball back in Saints territory, deep in Saints territory, didn't get seven. I was like, ah, oh, I kind of wanted seven, but, man, I definitely wanted seven. But I'm kind of okay with three. I was like, cool, you got it at a two-score game, whatever. But then you kick the ball off. To I don't know where his status is in the league or whatever, but I just know what I've seen from him the last 2 years again going against the Saints. Deontay Harris, absolutely electrifying. And you kick it to him. You kick it to him. That ball's got to be out of the end zone. I don't know why Deontay Harris is ever touching the ball on a kick return if you're going up against him if you're the 49ers. Ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous that he gets an opportunity to make a play. He killed him all game last year in the Dome, and he changed the game with his kick return right after that field goal. Absolutely changed the game. I think the Saints only ended up getting a field goal, but it changed the game. It gave them life. It breathed life into what they were trying to do. And that's when I knew it was over at that point, to be honest with you. Yeah.
Wow. I disagree. I mean, I can't disagree when you thought it was over. I can tell you when I – well, no, like you think what you think. I thought it was over a few minutes later. The fourth and one.
The fourth and one was next? I thought it was maybe a drive or two after that. But
it was shortly after. I was oh, okay. Being a little sure. Hyperbolic there. It was about 2 minutes before the end of the half. And when they went for it on fourth and one, and then you just saw the ease in which Drew Brees, who, by the way, Drew Brees, multiple rib fractures on both sides of his chest and a collapsed lung on his right side, and was actually arguing with Sean Payton about going back in the game at halftime. That's why we saw Jameis Winston, which is a story that we'll get to later. But I believe Chris Biederman had it timed out from the failed fourth and one conversion to the Alvin Kamara touchdown. Mm. It was 35 seconds.
Wow.
There was a brief moment when I realized how much time was left on the clock that I thought, oh, my God, the Saints are going to score again before the half is over. And Sean Payton wasn't playing that way until it got to third down, and then he called timeout, preserved a little time. Nothing really came about of it, but there was a sinking feeling like, oh, they're just going to get 14 quick points and get the ball back after halftime.
That fourth and one was atrocious, absolutely atrocious. I was walking around in Arden Mall trying to get a couple last things for my son's first birthday. Had the game on the phone, and I saw, okay, around midfield, I it was incomplete to Brandon Ayuk, you know, on some little pocket pass thing the play before, and I was like, go for it, you gotta try and win this game, go for it. Mm-hmm. And I see them come back out. They're going for it. Let's go. They get in the shotgun. All right, drop back, do this thing. And as soon as he went to that little ugly, nasty-looking read option look to McKinnon, bless his heart, Jerick McKinnon, why are we feeding him like he's Jerome Bettis in Pittsburgh? Why are we feeding him like he's damn Emmitt Smith in the early 90s with the Cowboys? The read option to Jerick McKinnon gets stuffed predictably. Absolutely terrible. I don't know why we're running the ball in that situation if we're the 49ers. I have no idea. And not only running the ball, but okay, if you want to run it to Mostert, even if you want to run it to Tevin Coleman, if you want to run it to Frank Gore, great. Jerick McKinnon, I think I saw somewhere in the first quarter first half or something like that, he had 10 carries for 15 yards. Kyle, what are you doing? What are you doing? That was disgusting. That was nasty. That fourth and one was trash.
Well, Here's what Kyle Shanahan had to say about it.
I debate every call, every play. You know, I knew when it was third and one, I knew we were going to have two downs to get it there. So I was going to throw on one, run on the other, and I debated for as long as I could which one I wanted to do each one on, and obviously neither of them worked, so I wish I could have had that back.
Pass on both. How about that? Pass on both. Your offensive line, you want to talk about trash. They're garbage right now. So you want to run behind that offensive line? Mike McGlinchey out here getting blown up by what's his name, Gardner Jones? The cornerback? McGlinchey is getting blown up by him. You can't set the edge to save your life because of that. And you want to run behind them on fourth and one in a read option with Nick Mullins? Not Lamar Jackson, with Nick Mullins. What do you think the defense is going to think? All 11 guys were on the line, and you're running a read option with Nick Mullins. What do you think they think you're going to do? It's terrible. It's trash.
Speaking of what do you think they think you're going to do, we saw a heavy dose of Taysom Hill in the second half. And I know that nothing pleases you more than the good God bless the name of one Taysom Hill. One thing that's truly, truly fascinating about Taysom Hill, and we've known this. I think it's another thing. It's one thing when you see the highlights. It's one thing when you're watching Red Zone and you get the Taysom Hill is in. You would think they're in the Red Zone every time Taysom Hill comes in because you got Taysom Hill is in the game and the Red Zone goes to it. It's another thing when you're sitting down and you're watching the game and Drew Brees is already out. You've got Jameis Winston in there as the primary quarterback, and it's like, okay, what are they doing here with Taysom Hill? Well, I can tell you, a direct snap.
Yeah.
Every time.
Right.
It's the same freaking play. Every single time Taysom Hill is in the game, but yet he was able to regularly pick up 5, 6, 7 yards against that San Francisco 49ers defense, which, by the way, I think played extraordinary well yesterday.
They played really well. They played really well yesterday. Given the fact that they got
no help from anyone outside of a couple of drives there in the first half, they got no help from anyone. I thought that defense did absolutely incredible yesterday.
No, they played really well yesterday. I've heard a lot of people, over the Twitters and the airwaves the last 24 hours or so talking about how well the defense played and, you know, poor defense and this and that. And I understand that they played great yesterday. They did a great job in the Superdome. They rose to the occasion. Javon Kinlaw, he was doing his thing out there. But let's not say poor defense and poor Robert Saleh too much, because this is the same defense that got obliterated the last 2 weeks that they were out there in Seattle and against the Packers. So,
hey, I'm not speaking for them on a season-wide perspective. I'm just speaking from them for yesterday.
They showed up yesterday. Absolutely.
Look at you know, if you look at every metric that you like to use to measure how a game went, mm-hmm. 49ers won all of them.
Mm-hmm.
Every single one of them, all those little metrics. If you're new to the show, third down conversions, the 49ers were 7 of 16. The New Orleans Saints were 2 of 12.
Mm.
You hear me?
Mm.
2 of 12. Mm. But they didn't have to be good.
No.
They didn't have to gain a bunch of yards.
Well, they were getting the ball on the Niners 30 every time.
That's it right there. And we seem to ask this question every week. Do the 49ers have a chance to make it into the postseason, where we're going to go ahead and ask that question one more time, and we've got results that very much matter to the San Francisco 49ers, including the Rams beating the Seahawks and the former 2020-2021 MVP Russell Wilson and the new MVP favorite in Arizona. We'll dive into all of that as D'Lo and Casey continue here on Sacramento's number one sports station, ESPN 1320.
Now, back to D'Lo and KC. D'Lo and KC on ESPN 1320.
Great play there. Fourth down and four. Here's the punt now coming from Thomas Morstead. Gets it away at the New Orleans 30-yard line. Coming up is Trent Taylor. Lets it bounce. Did the ball touch him inadvertently? Trent Taylor was very close to touching that ball. I think he got away from it. No, they're saying he touched the ball in New Orleans.
I don't know what Trent Taylor was doing on that play. God bless him. I've never returned kicks before. But goodness gracious, that was the first of a series of special teams mistakes that happened to the San Francisco 49ers yesterday. We've got a lot to talk about. If you're an NBA fan, don't worry. We've got all your NBA news on the way. We've got our Woj alerts on. We've got our Shams alerts on. We've got our Sam Amick alerts on. Anybody who's going to provide us some information, we've got those alerts on, and we'll pass them on to you in case anything pops up. Of course, the big trade already today, Chris Paul. All eyes now on Houston with James Harden and Russell Westbrook. Is that new front office is holding strong, saying, no, we're good entering the year with both of them. Meanwhile, each of them says, no, we'll take a pass. James Harden wants to be James Harden wants to be in Philly or Brooklyn or some sort of contender. I guess that means the Houston Rockets are no longer contenders, and not that they ever were. And Russell Westbrook, of course, wants to play here in Sacramento, according to me and only me. So here we have to do this game every week. At least we've had to do it for the last three. Do the 49ers still have a chance? And you and I were both of the belief entering that that was kind of it. You still had an outside chance if you're able to beat the Saints. I don't know what the pathway to the playoffs is. I don't know how this team makes a run into the playoffs. And perhaps more specifically, at least as it relates to you and I don't know how either one of us can make an argument that this team gets into the playoffs. Besides, well, some guys are going to get healthy. Debo's going to get healthy. We believe Debo's going to be back after the bye. We believe Raheem Mostert's going to be back after the bye. Mm-hmm. We think maybe, perhaps, Richard Sherman will be back after the bye.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't really know what Richard Sherman's return ultimately means. It's not like it would be Nick Bosa coming back in week 12, and that's not a knock on Richard Sherman. He's just he's a little bit older. It's a little bit different. He's dealing with the calf injury. He's not going to be 100% no matter what happens after the bye.
Right.
But you're asking them to avoid the one thing that they haven't been able to avoid all year, and that's injuries. And, oh, by the way, you think we escaped last night with no issues?
No,
Jamichael Hasty, not. Broken collarbone. His Come season's on. Over. Eric Armstead, he's on his way to the COVID list. You know what's fascinating? And I don't want to derail our conversation. We saw something with the Browns today as well. We've got this notice from the 49ers. Isn't it incredible? No player on Sunday test positive, but I'll be damned if Monday doesn't roll around and all of these statements come out from these organizations about players who tested positive Monday morning versus Sunday morning. It's just extraordinary how those positive tests just seem to avoid Sundays altogether.
It's amazing. It's a miracle.
It is
an NFL
miracle. It is. It is. Blessed on us by the good Lord Roger Goodell and his disciple Jerry Jones. Or perhaps it's the good Lord Jerry Jones and his disciple Roger Goodell.
Yeah, but that might be the case. Yeah. No,
what a
such a
mess.
As the great philosopher Cameron Giles once said, what a coinky dink.
Cameron said that?
Oh yeah,
That's a, Cameron doesn't strike me as a guy who says "what a coinky dink."
That's a well. I'll talk for those that know the song. They know the song. I'll talk to you about it on break.
Okay, fair enough. Do you got it? Can you? Can
I
you,
like my job?
Can you wedge? Can you wedge the San Francisco 49ers here into the playoffs somewhere?
I can. Okay. I don't know like how realistic it is or how likely it is, but. I can do it because the NFC, surprisingly, because I remember at the beginning of the season, I was talking about how the NFC was where the big boys played, WCW style, and the AFC was small potatoes. And it's the complete opposite. The complete opposite. The NFC is that team that the Niners played yesterday, the Saints, I got them as the number one team in the NFC. And they're above average team.
No, they're
nothing special. They're absolutely nothing special. They get steamrolled by the Steelers or the Chiefs. They would get steamrolled. They probably get steamrolled by the Bills or the Dolphins.
Stop.
No, they would.
My Dolphins, maybe. Maybe my Dolphins would get them. The Buffalo Bills wouldn't. And I think you're half right.
The Bills
Kansas
would beat
City.
Them.
No, they wouldn't. No, they wouldn't. The Bills didn't even beat. Who beat the Bills yesterday?
The Cardinals. Who might
All
be?
Right,
they might be the best team in the NFC.
They very well. Look at you. Look at you.
I keep it
you.
A stack at all times.
Come
man.
On, man.
You know
look
that.
At you.
I keep it a stack. And look.
Can we run back week one? Can we just sit out for about an hour and run all of the entire show back from week one in your venom towards Cliff Kingsbury, Kyler Murray, and the Arizona
Cardinals?
This is
a gift and a curse type of situation because I just said the NFC is – there's no super teams in there. So the Cardinals being best team in the NFC, okay, they've got holes. They've got plenty of holes. They would get steamrolled by the Steelers and the Chiefs.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's also acknowledge the Dolphins are legit. Let's also acknowledge the NFC East weighs down the entire conference. Gosh. Just Jeez. Like it's like the curve. Like just the whole curve is destroyed because of the NFC. Like no matter what happens, like you look at playoff standings here. There's Philadelphia there at number four, and there's nothing you could do about it with their 3-5-1 record.
The NFC East is Florida.
There it is. Absolutely.
The NFC mess up everything.
Yep. The NFC East is Florida. That's 100% accurate. Meanwhile, you mentioned Pittsburgh. They're 9-0. We'll talk more about them. Kansas City, they're 8-1. Buffalo, they're still 7-3. By the way, do we have a new best division in the NFL?
No.
Is it still the NFC West?
Yes, it is.
It's not the AFC East.
No. The Jets are in the AFC East. So, no. But the North, the East, they're solid. But the NFC West, like, I know it's kind of in vogue to talk about how bad the Niners are. And they've got so many holes and the windows shut and all this other stuff. With everything that's gone on, they're two games under 500.
I don't think anybody said that.
Oh, they're like, saying it. They're saying it last night and today. I've heard it.
Well, because you're listening to Bonte Hill in the morning, and Bonte is emotional, just like you. You and Bonte are cut from the same exact cloth. Bonte, of course, our guy at 95.7 The Game in San Francisco.
We're going to have to talk to Bonte. Maybe next week. When
let him cool down a little bit, please. Like let's talk to him on the bye week after he's relaxed a little bit before we get him on here. But you guys are the only one talking about and Damon Bruce. I don't know. The window, I see when Damon said the window was shut, I thought he meant on the season. It's like, yes,
he meant 100%. Forever. He meant forever. He meant it's never going to happen. It might be gone. 30 years before the Niners get to the Super Bowl. It's over.
I don't think it's that, but there is an issue that has to be addressed, and it's one, we have learned why the backup quarterback position is the second most important position in all of the NFL, and it's why it's the guy that you never, ever want to see. Remember when the Cowboys thought they had a suitable backup quarterback?
DiNucci? Oh, Andy Dalton.
Andy Dalton. Yeah, you already forgot. Andy Dalton, the best backup in all of the NFL. How'd that work out? Yeah, not so well. Boy, that backup quarterback position is gold, and it's even more fragile when you realize, the 49ers even have a starting quarterback?
Look, man. I already mentioned it once when I said the Cardinals are good. You know what I mean? I have no problem, saying, hey, I was wrong. It's a good team right here. They're good. I came on here on these airwaves, and I talked about Nick Mullins being a starting quarterback in this league. Maybe not a great starting quarterback. He's not better than Jimmy, all this other stuff. But I said he's a starting quarterback in this league. He's a good quarterback. I came on these airwaves and said that. I will come on these airwaves and say I was dead wrong. Biggie Small style, right? Dead wrong. Nick Mullins is cheeks.
That's bad?
That's bad. He's not good. Great guy.
Is that
but
short
he's not
for
good.
Saying he's butt cheeks? Are you just trying to keep it clean?
He ain't got it. He ain't got it, man.
Good enough to be butt cheeks. Like, he's bad. Yeah, it's awful. He's, he is frustrating to watch, dude. And you go out there and you see what he's able to do against the bad football team. It's like, hey, it's not bad. But it's like, oh, by the way, that is a really, really bad football team that he just beat. And you've watched him ever since, man, and it is just brutal. And so perhaps Jimmy Garoppolo has solidified himself even more so as the starting quarterback of this team. And I don't know who Jimmy Garoppolo is competing for with this position. I don't know if he's competing with some mythical rookie out there in the upcoming draft. I don't know if he's dealing with competing with, Kirk COVID Cousins out in Minnesota who will be on tonight. I don't know who or it's this fictitious Matt Ryan trade that has been put together. I don't know what it is, but it sure as hell isn't Nick Mullins or C.J. Beathard.
Hell no. C.J. Beathard. They bring him in there like a pinch hitter to throw a deep ball to Richie James Jr., who was wide open. He had beaten the defense. Great play design. Great route by James. He was open. And they bring in C.J. Beathard to throw the deep ball, and he throws it 10 yards short.
Yeah. Yep.
Goodbye. Goodbye to both of them. You bring back Jimmy. You draft a quarterback. There's your two quarterbacks next year. Goodbye. And that's the reason why that, like, literally, like, I could get behind all this other stuff, right? I really can. I've thought about it. I can get behind Mostert coming back, Debo coming back, Richard Sherman coming back. I can get behind getting healthy and getting weapons back. The thing that always gives me pause when you say, can the Niners do this, is the quarterback position. It is trash right now. Garbage. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I'm not including Jimmy in that.
For those who didn't see the C.J. Beathard pass, when my partner says he was 10 yards short, no, he really was. It was 3rd and 21. The ball may have made it 20 yards in the air. Like, it's just, and he was trying to throw it 30. It was an absolute, and it was just one of those things where you look at it and you go, oh, this is the 49ers backup quarterback position.
You
right
want to talk
here in a nutshell.
You want to talk play. Conor McGregor throw. He loaded up like he was about to let that thing go 40, 50 yards in the air, 10 yards short of an
so
open
bad.
Richie James Jr. Like, Richie James was open. He was there. And I'll stall C.J. Beathard out just a little bit with this. Just a little bit. I'll stall him out. He came in. Yeah, he threw some warm-up throws, but he just came in and heaved the ball. Like, I want everybody to go out right now on the break, on the commercial break, and go, like, try and throw a ball as far as you can without any kind of, like, real warm-up. That could be difficult. I understand that. But,
well, without the 300-pound men chasing you, you're probably still throwing it further than C.J. Beathard did. I'm just gonna guess. And since
yesterday was so frustrating. Because not only Damian did they not win the game, not only did the Saints not look impressive at all, they had opportunities to win it, and they just didn't take care of business. Like, I'm here to even say it wasn't even a whole lot that the Saints did to stop them. Although Gardner Jones, I think his name was, he was all over the place. Niners refused to block him. But it wasn't a lot that the Saints did to keep them from executing. Nick Mullins throws a pick in field goal range. They muffed two punts.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, those three plays alone right there, come on, man. Come on. Like, you can't – that's unacceptable. That is unacceptable to have those three turnovers right there. Not just any turnovers. Those three specifically are completely unacceptable. And Kyle needs to bear responsibility for this, and he needs to be on their head this week. And whenever they meet up again after the bye week. That you want to talk about playing perfect. Like, maybe you're not going to score 30 points, but you cannot give the ball away. You cannot be that careless with the football. You absolutely cannot.
Kyle Shanahan knew they needed to play perfect.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I knew, I think we all knew we had to play some real good football coming in today. I think the guys, I mean, I was real impressed with their guys, just how hard they're going for it. I mean, if you don't get the turnovers fixed, it doesn't matter what our situation is. Hey, it's, you know, I look back at, I believe, our four wins. You know, I think we're like plus five or plus eight in turnovers, one of the two. And then I'm in our five losses, this being our sixth. I think we're like minus 10 or something. So huge difference there. I know we're missing some people, but I think if we took care of the ball better today, we would have had a very good chance to be in that game. But we didn't, and blew an opportunity there.
He's 100% correct.
Yep.
Not 100% wrong. Correct. And yeah. and even you take it a step further, not only taking care of the ball, giving them opportunity to win, but it set up a Saints offense that you mentioned it, Damian, you're 100% right. The 49ers defense was doing a great job against the Saints offense. And they were having a hard time putting drives together and sustaining drives against that defense. And you put them right in scoring position. They only had to – it was the same thing. It's kind of what I talked about with the Bucs game, right? Like the Saints-Bucs game. Like, it wasn't like this offense was dominating. It was the turnovers by the Bucs that were putting them in position to just go, okay, five, six plays, 35 yards, touchdown. Like, that's what the 49ers did without the picks, really. Like, they were just handing the ball. Trent Taylor, don't know what he's doing. My man Richie James Jr. just muffed one when they had an outside chance to come back. I think they were down 10 at the time, getting the ball back maybe early in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
Can't happen. Can't happen.
I mean, there's still, I mean, there's a, another Jimmy Ward dropped a.
Another pick?
Yeah. I mean, there are so many different instances you can point to where it just felt like this game wasn't going to go the 49ers' way, despite the fact that they were in position for it.
And that's before you talk about the, oh my gosh, the egregious roughing the passer call. That would have made it third and really long.
Yeah.
And then turned into a first, and I forgot exactly where they were going to be at on the field. But, I mean, that's a game-changing play right there. That is game-changing play.
It was, in my estimation, 100% the wrong call. Even Dean Blandino, who doesn't disagree with the referees very often, is like, I think they got this one wrong, but that seems to be the play that fractured Drew Brees' ribs and caused a collapsed lung.
Jeez.
So there's the update on Drew Brees. And again, if you saw the video of Jameis Winston entering the game, it looked like, and maybe you could, Drew Brees was arguing with Sean Payton about being able to go back out there. And
yeah.
I mean, I guess good for Sean Payton. Like, nah, bro, your lung isn't supposed to be in your stomach right now. Like, man, go sit down. Go grab a baseball hat. Hey, you know what? Better yet, fam, go to the emergency room right now and let's get you. Let's get you checked out here.
Go to the ER. I did figure something out, though, Damon. This is small potatoes, no big deal. But this whole time, we've talked about Jameis Winston is better than being a third-string quarterback in this league. And we were right. And I think that was all schematics, right? Like, he's the backup quarterback, not Taysom Hill.
Sure.
You know what I mean? And that's what I did realize yesterday. Because on the depth chart, he's third. And we're like, what? Come on, that don't make no sense. But I mean, yesterday showed he's the backup. Taysom on the depth chart is number two, but he's not the backup quarterback.
They ain't going to have Taysom Hill throw a damn pass, like, no. Which is the most fascinating thing. You've got a $16 million backup quarterback who you don't trust to throw the football.
That's crazy.
It is really an extraordinary thing. And while we will never admit that we're wrong about Taysom Hill, because quite honestly, we aren't. We're spot on. Since we're admitting things that we were wrong about. For 9 straight weeks, I told you that Russell Wilson was the 2020-2021 most valuable player. I didn't care about Patrick Mahomes' astonishing numbers, which we'll give you here in just a minute. And when I say they're astonishing, bro, I mean they are astonishing. I didn't care because oftentimes the MVP is about the story. Mm-hmm. It's not about the actual stats. It's about, well, if it was about stats, if it was about impact, if it was about being most valuable, you'd have the same handful of guys in each league being the MVP every year. LeBron James, for example. I thought this was the year Russell Wilson team's off to a great start. Seahawks are playing well offensively. And Russell Wilson's playing tremendous. Not so much anymore. Yesterday, in their loss to the Los Angeles Rams, Russell Wilson, 2 interceptions, a fumble loss. It's the third time in the last 4 games that he's had at least 3 turnovers. He has 13 turnovers this season. That is the most through 10 games of a season in his career. That's also, and this is a head-scratching thing, that's his 10th career loss versus the Rams, his most against any opponent in the NFL.
They've struggled against the Rams for a while now. Like, not that they own them or nothing like that, but I remember when it was like I was really, I shouldn't say was, I still don't like the Seahawks, but I was really on my hate Seahawks type stuff. It was always the Rams that gave them problem, especially on the road going to wherever, that LA or St. Louis or whatever. The Seahawks struggle against them.
And I told you on Friday that a big performance against the Buffalo Bills would catapult Kyler Murray to the top of the MVP rankings. And that's kind of true because it catapulted him right to the top, right there, because second is still the top. It's not the very top. It's just higher than he was before.
I think somebody did a little research and said, I don't know if he can be first.
He catapulted right up there to number 2. And obviously the spectacular play with DeAndre Hopkins puts an exclamation point, another exclamation point. It's about the 10th exclamation point on DeAndre Hopkins and the 100th exclamation point as to why Bill O'Brien should have been fired a very, 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 very long time ago.
He should never get another job in this league.
No, he shouldn't. He absolutely should not. And yesterday's game with what DeAndre Hopkins and Kyler Murray did is the perfect example. As I said, he catapulted right up there to second.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Right behind second, Patrick second. Mahomes.
I mean, Thursday it was like he's going to be first.
No, I say he's going to the top, and he
to
did
the top,
because
to the
second
actual
is the
top.
Okay. If you're at like five or six, and you catapult to two, like you're at the top. Like it's just you're not.
I guess I didn't ask the right questions when you said to the top. When you said to the top, I thought you meant the top. But number two is also the top.
I've already admitted I was wrong about some things. I'm not going to admit I was wrong about everything. So he catapulted to the top, right there, up to number two behind Patrick Mahomes, who has 2,600 yards on the season. Patrick Mahomes has 25 touchdowns and one interception.
Oh, my gosh. I was literally about to ask, like, tongue-in-cheek, has he thrown an interception this year? And he's only thrown one.
And I can't remember it. I'm guessing
it
was against
the Raiders.
Yeah, I'm guessing it was against the Raiders, but I don't know that for sure.
Big game on Sunday against
the Raiders. And it was. It was against the Raiders.
Yeah. Patrick Mahomes is I think he's going to eventually, maybe even starting this year, get into that LeBron category where he's the best quarterback in the game. He's dominant every year, and it'll be somebody else's turn to win MVP. I think that's where he's going to get.
Yeah, I think he got one more in him before we get there. It's just weird.
Well, LeBron's got four. He'll get to four or something, like three or four.
Well,
Brady's
got four. Some of them are spread out. Like Brady, I think Brady got the default Carson Wentz MVP, the one that Carson Wentz essentially won, and it was like, well, we can't give it to him, so who's next? Well, believe it or not, it's old Tommy. So yeah. Brady got it. But his MVPs are pretty spread out. I think the same is true for Peyton. His might be a little bit more scrunched together. But, I think he probably has two in him. But the weird thing is with Kyler Murray, his numbers are better. And I know we joke around on this show, so I don't want this to come across as hyperbole. Like, his numbers are actually a lot better than what Lamar Jackson's were last year.
Yeah.
And so, it fits in, like, what's the story here? And it was, you know, to try to present the Lamar Jackson story in full context, his MVP case started ramping up. It's like not like he started in week two and it was like, oh, look what Lamar Jackson was doing.
Right.
It's when it got to like seven, like, oh, wow, like, oh, it's cool. Eight, oh, nine, ten. Then all of a sudden it was like, oh, my God, look at what Lamar Jackson is doing. And I think for me, Ravens 49ers last year.
Yeah. He was MVP at that point.
That was the game where I thought, oh, man, if the 49ers could take this MVP award away from Lamar Jackson right now. And they weren't able to do it.
Was last year, was it week one last year when he played the Dolphins and had like six touchdowns and just murdered him? I think that was the opening week.
That was like, the line. That was crazy. Where he dropped the not bad for a wide receiver line.
Yeah, absolutely crazy. But we're going to come when we, you know, I'm not saying to take the break now or whatever, but I need a little more
time.
Are you saying
on the other side?
On the other side. We're going to talk. Look, we're going to get into the NBA, but I saw something. It's going to be real quick, but I saw something that I want. I want bad.
Okay.
All right. And I'm going to mention it to you, and I got to hear what you got to say, because I saw something last night. I said, no, I need that in my life. I absolutely need that.
You've got my attention. You have got my attention. We will talk about the NBA. We'll get you caught up on all of the news that has happened today. It's full of rumors. We'll tell you all about our draft special coming up on Wednesday. Do the Kings and Monty McNair, do they shake things up this week? It is a massive week in the NBA, unlike one that we've ever seen before. Plus, we've still got more football to talk about. We've got to talk about the Raiders. We've got to talk about my Dolphins. We got to talk about the fact that the Raiders and the Dolphins might be on a collision course for a playoff spot. We'll explain all of that as we continue here. It's D'Lo and KC on Sacramento's number one sports station, ESPN 1320.
Now back to D'Lo and KC. D'Lo and KC on ESPN 1320.
Oh, it would be nice if Marshall listens but doesn't really get the concept of what we do, how we've got to tease things moving forward. But Marshall has directed his ire towards me, not realizing that the person at the top of my MVP list was actually one Patrick LeVar Mahomes. And that's all right, Marshall. We love you anyways. We'll
see
you Friday.
He thinks it's crazy that Kyler's two?
He didn't say anything about Kyler. He missed my top reference where I said top doesn't mean, you know, it just means up there, near
top
the top.
Top.
We're not talking about tippy top here. Like, come on, man. Like, let's settle down. Patrick Mahomes, 25 touchdowns, one interception. What are we talking about right here? Man, this week is lit already. Let's see. We've got the suspension, the moratorium on transactions in the NBA was lifted at 9 o'clock our time. We got a Chris Paul deal. Chris Paul to Phoenix. So are the Kings already the worst team in the conference?
I'm going to answer that. But what I saw is completely – I want to get into NBA. So let me finish this, and then we're going to get into NBA. Because I got some thoughts about
it. Yeah, because you sparked my interest there, and you didn't tell me during the break what it was that's got you all excited.
No, I told you another very entertaining story, might I ask. But that's for the Patreon.
That'll be available Friday night. That'll be available Friday night during Terramana Talks on the Be Heard platform. But go ahead.
So what I saw yesterday, I saw something yesterday that I was like, yo, I need that. I need that in my life, right?
You can't see him, but he's doing the Birdman thing where he's rubbing his hands together like he's plotting something. Yep.
I need that, right? Let me ask you a question, Damien. Who, outside of DeAndre Hopkins, who's the biggest beast at the wide receiver position in the league, in your opinion?
You talked
about him a lot.
DK Metcalf, yeah.
Do you see what that boy Jalen did to him yesterday? You see the blanket that boy Jalen put on him yesterday? I need that in my life. And people running around talking about, let's go get Zach Wilson. No, definitely not a Rams fan. But I do love me some Jalen Ramsey, right? And people talk, go get, let's trade up for Justin Fields. Let's go get Wilson from BYU and all this other stuff with the first pick. No. Number one, did you see what DK Metcalf did to the 49ers and what he's been doing all season?
Yep.
Did you see DeAndre Hopkins go up and get that thing over three Buffalo Bills defenders? I need somebody that's going to match up with those guys for the next 7 years. I need that Jalen Ramsey work for the next 7 years. Go find me somebody that's going to bring that type of click-clack, that type of lock and key to those two guys. I need that.
So just so I understand correctly, the thing that you want so badly, it actually belongs to the Los Angeles Rams.
I don't need Jalen Ramsey specifically. I mean, that would be great, obviously. But I need that type of shutdown corner. That's what you need if you're the 49ers.
You know Jalen Ramsey is kind of in the category of like one of one.
He is one of one. I completely understand.
You're
that.
Setting yourself up for disappointment.
I completely understand. But Patrick Peterson kind of did the same thing. When he played DK Metcalf.
Like 6 years ago.
No, it's not. Oh, the first time they played, he had like one catch.
Well, DK was still finding his...
It was 2 weeks ago.
His rhythm. He's still trying to find his legs.
I need that, Damien. People talking about quarterback. No. First of all, I don't know what the hell's going on with the offensive line.
We've got to change this comp. Like, you're not getting a Jalen Ramsey. You're not. If you want a shutdown corner, let's go with the shutdown corner and start. Let's not refer to him as a Jalen Ramsey because you ain't getting a Jalen Ramsey.
I understand, but I need something like that.
Okay.
Need Jalen Ramsey. If you can give me 90% of Jalen Ramsey, I need that. Because DK ain't going nowhere.
90% of Jalen Ramsey is like the really good corners in the league.
Yeah, go get me one. What's your first pick?
Okay.
Because, like I said, DK ain't going nowhere. DeAndre Hopkins ain't going nowhere.
Does it change? No, you're not wrong. Does it change for you if the 49ers pick winds up being really high? Like top? I don't have the record. Top eight. Does it change?
Not for me. I can understand why people would be like, Zach Wilson, all this. Not for me, it doesn't. McGlinchey was out there getting ran over by cornerbacks yesterday. Mm-hmm. And you want that the guy to be there by yourself on the offensive line? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. DK and DeAndre Hopkins have had the 49ers secondary for lunch the two times they played them this year.
Just a quick look. The 49ers aren't going to have a pick even remotely close to that high.
And that's my whole point where everybody talking about quarterback. The quarterbacks that you guys really want are going to be gone. The Niners, this is assuming they never win a game all year. They're probably gonna win at least six, maybe seven on the
God
season.
Almighty,
Thank you.
12 teams with a worse record than the San Francisco 49ers. Same or worse.
Thank you.
Oh,
man. And that's right now. Like I said, the Niners are probably going to win 6 to 7 games this year. So you're going to be at about the 15th pick. Mm. And you want to –
That's right.
The quarterbacks aren't going to be there. The ones they keep talking about. Now, if you want to know about the ones that you also should be looking at, holla at me tomorrow with my college football quarterback rankings. That boy Kyle Trask put on a show on Saturday.
I think he threw for 1,000 yards on Saturday.
Man.
I just think he threw for another 100 while we were talking about it. okay.
But yeah, that's all I needed. Now it's time to get locked in on the NBA, baby. That's all I needed.
So the tease, I thought that was, I was like, man, our chemistry has just gotten off the charts here 2 months into the show. I thought what you saw had something to do with all of this film that you've been watching over the last few weeks, and I was dreading draft pick that you were going for. Oh, sorry, let me clarify. Not the 2020 draft pick, not the draft pick on Wednesday, the draft pick in 2021 that you've already got your eyes on. I thought, man, we have really got this locked in. He's leading me right into the next segment. It was actually football. Like,
yeah.
All right.
I needed a Jalen Ramsey.
Okay.
All right. I needed that. But when you talk about that, somebody asked me on Twitter, you mentioned the topic or the Kings, the worst team in the, did you say Pacific or the Western Conference?
I said the conference.
And I'm like, maybe, probably. This year is lining up to be a win-win for me, Damian. It really is. And I'm not even like no loser mentality type of dude or whatever. But, I mean, if they show up and show out and do something impressive this year, that would be awesome. That's going to be fun. I'm going to love watching that. And that's going to be something to build on. If they are the worst team in the Western Conference, man, oh, man. This draft next year, boy. Woof. Woof. Come on, man. This boy Jalen Green is so nasty. Oh, my goodness.
Are you going to do this all year? I just need to know. Like, with every loss, are we going to have, like, a Jalen Green, closer to Jalen Green counter?
That might be the case, because I need everybody to see the big picture right here. And that's before we talk about my guy. I mean, Jalen Green's probably number one, but that boy Terrence Clark is nasty. And they got him, like I said, somebody got him down around the teens, like 12, 13, 14. Like, Terrence Clark is bad. This draft next year, crazy. So, like, I can't be – as long as Marvin Bagley and De'Aaron Fox stay healthy, like, if this year isn't another year of health concerns, there's not much that could go on this year that could get me upset.
Okay. Well, I'm sure we'll test that theory here coming up just starting December 22nd. Here's the thing about – and this isn't, like, negative mentality. This isn't, like, being, oh, because I don't think anybody believes – I don't want to speak for anybody – I don't believe this is the same old Kings. I believe you have washed a lot of trash out of this organization, and now you've got the freshest, cleanest start that you could possibly have.
I see that.
And the problem with that is Golden State is going to be, I mean, potential one seed or second. Like, they're, in my eyes, they're going to be really, really good. They're not going to be anywhere near the bottom of the standings like they were last year.
No, they'll be top three.
I don't like Minnesota, period. I don't care what they do on Wednesday with that number one overall pick, and I'm not sure that they're going to be better than Sacramento. I think if there's one team that I can say definitively will be worse than Sacramento, it's Minnesota. That's the only one I truly believe. Like, no, they're worse. They're worse than Sacramento. The Pelicans, it remains to be seen.
Mm-hmm.
These are the three teams that had worse records than Sacramento last year. The Pelicans, who knows? We think they're supposed to be better. Man, we don't know, but they're supposed to be. And, bruh.
San Antonio.
Yeah, well, I actually wasn't going to say San Antonio. I was going to say Memphis.
Oh, yeah.
I know people think Memphis, and rightfully so, their trajectory with the young guys that they have, probably similar to Sacramento. If it's similar, then...
It's similar.
Right.
Let it be similar all the way around. Like,
and there it
is. If you think the Kings are going to be bad, then you got to think the Grizzlies are going to... I really believe they are the same type of team. Like, I really believe that.
They overachieved last year, and then they hit that wall to where it was like, the wall. They hit a bubble, which was their ultimate undoing.
They had the worst and the toughest schedule left when the season stopped. Kept saying numerous times the difference between the Grizzlies in the Kings last year was their second-year power forward stayed healthy, and the Kings' second-year power forward didn't. Like, it was really that simple to me. And you saw when Jaren Jackson wasn't able to play, they had a bad record. Like, they weren't the same team. And that's the same as what happened with the Kings. I mean, I know people, what if Marvin Bagley were like 0-12 in his game?
Yeah, it was bad.
Or something like that. That's an anomaly, because the year before, they were, like, streaking when Marvin Bagley was in the lineup, and people were trying to see more of Marvin Bagley. So, and some of those games were out Fox, too, so this past year. So, I always thought Memphis and the Kings were on the same trajectory. I like the Kings more than most, which means I got to have the Grizzlies kind of up there, too, but... You know, to each his own. However you see it, I think you need to see those two teams in the same light.
Not taking into account years as a fan, I'll just say years in covering them. This is the Sacramento Kings version of the Kings that I like the most. Just because you've gotten rid of that front office, you've gotten rid of other riffraff around the organization, and now you've got Monty McNair in there with this group ready. And, you know, some would say, well, you know, it would be a really clean start is Luke Walton. And I've been on the, hey, move on from Luke Walton train. But I'm not rooting for Luke Walton's demise. I want this thing to work. And I'm hoping the fact that he wasn't let go the second Monty McNair got that job, that he's giving him a real opportunity, not a pretend opportunity to where it's like, dude, we can't pay you for the next 3 years. We in a pandemic, fam. Like, we ain't got that Golden State Warrior money where they're testing everybody who walks there through their facility to the tune of $30 million. Like, we ain't got that. But if they're giving him, like, a real chance to coach this team, and we know that this front office, or at least what we've read about this front office, is that they have an influence on coaching. So, in the way the team is coached. Man, I'm all for this. Like, let's see how this works out. What I'm so curious about is how the next few days shape out, because we know so little. We know the buzzwords from the 17-minute press conference that Monty McNair gave us. We know nothing else. We'll learn about his approach to the draft. Like, you read Pat Forty. You read Ryan. You listen to Ryan Russillo. You pull up every draft expert. You know, a national draft expert. And they'll all say the same thing. We ain't got a pulse for what the Kings are doing. Right. We really have no idea. There was, I think, Jonathan Giovanni of ESPN had them. Well, 12 was one of the most talked about, you know, trade spots. Mm-hmm. And there were a couple other teams mixed in there. But we'll learn a lot over the course of these next few days. Free agency starts on Friday. We'll learn, well, Bogdanovich, how much does he value him there? You know, we'll maybe learn a little bit about Buddy Hield, the Keith Pompey in Philadelphia. We had Keith on months ago.
Right.
And we were already talking about Buddy Hield. He was already talking about Buddy Hield. He knew that was a fit in Philadelphia. That noise seems to have gotten just a smidge bit louder in the last 7 to 10 days. So what's Monty McNair's approach to all of this? Like, I think we're going to start learning some of these things this week.
Yeah. I mean, we don't know much of anything about Monty McNair or the people he hired or anything like that. But it does seem, to your point, Damian, that this is already the most stable this franchise has seemed or looked in a decade, right? Like, at least there seems to be some kind of organization and some kind of plan to what they're trying to do. And we haven't been able to say that in a decade plus. You know what I mean? Like, from ownership on down. Because even, you know, when the Maloofs were there, they were trying to get the team out of here. You know what I'm saying? Like, for I don't know how long. So there's a level of stability within this organization that it seems like we haven't seen in a long time. I'll say this also about the Buddy Hield thing. I mean, just take him. Just take him. Like, I know people get mad, like, no, you got to maximize your assets and all this other stuff. Just get him off my hands, please. If you're willing to take his contract and you want to give me, you know, a Dr. Dish machine back, cool, whatever. You can have him.
You listen to D'Lo and KC on KIFM, West Sacramento, or radio.com sports station, and driven by Lashers Elk Grove Dodge. I'm Damian Barling. He's Kenny Caraway. We're thrilled that you're here with us. If you've missed any part of the show, you can use the rewind feature on the radio.com app, which hopefully you have. on your iPhone or your iPhone mini or your Android or whatever it may be. Just search radio.com in the App Store. You can download it. It's completely free. Register completely free. You get no charges. You get no spam emails. All you got to do is search ESPN 1320. That saves us at your favorite radio station, and you can listen to us live and on demand, as it is the only place you can get the podcast version of D'Lo and KC here. We've got quite a week ahead. That's going to be a hell of a podcast coming up on Wednesday. 8 hours we'll be with you from 12 to 8 o'clock. We've got D'Lo and KC from 12 to 2.
Yeah.
We've got the D'Lo and KC pre-draft show from 2 to 4.
Yes, sir.
We've got the D'Lo and KC draft show from about 4 to whenever the 12th pick is made. And then we've got the D'Lo and KC post-draft show, where we'll keep you updated on everything that is happening in the draft, including the Kings' second-round picks, and then we'll have all of our friends from the Kings Herald, Be Heard platform. Like, everybody's going to join us to talk about what they think the Kings should do and what the Kings have done, depending on what time of day they join us. Yeah. And we hope that you'll be with us for all 8 hours. We don't ask much of you. We just ask that you tune in 5 days a week for 2 hours a day. Just today, or just on Wednesday, we would like you to devote 8 hours of your life to me and Kenny. I don't see what's outlandish about that at all.
Pull up. It's going to be a great day. And that's my son's birthday. And I think he's going to spend his whole birthday listening to all 8 hours.
That's a good look. Yeah. We might have to bring him in as an analyst. Like, I don't know how. Yeah, I don't know. About 7:15. We'll see how we're feeling. We might have to bring the young fella in as an analyst. So that's all coming up on Wednesday. Of course, this morning, the moratorium on transactions in the NBA were lifted, and the rumored Chris Paul to the Suns deal was actually executed. Chris Paul is on his way to the Phoenix Suns. The big players involved, Kelly Oubre and Ricky Rubio, along with a 2022 first-round pick. What do you think of this? And this, by the way, was obviously the impetus of the "Are the Kings the worst team in the Western Conference" mm-hmm. conversation, was this bump here from Phoenix. What do you think about Chris Paul along with Devin Booker and DeAndre Ayton down there in Arizona?
It's grown on me a little bit.
Of course, Monty Williams.
Yeah, it's grown on me a little bit. Initially, when they rumored it about a week ago or whatever, I was like, for what? Like, I want Chris Paul to win a championship. He's not winning a championship in Phoenix. I still don't think they're a championship contender, but that's a good little nucleus. That's a real good nucleus right there mm-hmm. with Chris Paul, Devin Booker, and DeAndre Ayton. They also have, if I saw correctly, they have like $17 to $18 million left in cap space to go get somebody. I know people are talking about Gallinari possibly coming there or whatever the case may be, but you know they've got the Mikal Bridges. They got him already there. So I like it. I see them possibly being a top four, top five team in the West. I could see that checking
Whoa,
out. Yeah,
really?
I could see that checking out. You got the Lakers, you got the Clippers, you got the Warriors, you mm-hmm. got Denver, and then Utah.
I guess this is a good time to mention, while, you know, Dallas, you know, they were the seventh seed last year by a long shot. They were comfortably the seventh seed, meaning where they were as it pertains to the Portland Trailblazers. But they were in the mix there all the way up until, you know, it was really tight between 4, 5, 6, and 7. It was still fairly tight when you factor in the Denver Nuggets there at number 3. But Kristaps Porzingis is going to miss the start of the NBA season mm-hmm. as he had surgery to repair the meniscus in his right knee. He had surgery back in early October, so he's going to miss at least the start of the Dallas Mavericks season, which, you know, I mean, he's an important part of what they do. He's an important component of what they do. So you look at Dallas and you go, okay, well, how long is Porzingis going to be out? Now, those types of surgeries aren't, you know, those aren't ACL repairs. Those aren't massive. Those certainly aren't Achilles and, you know, or weird Isaiah Thomas hip injuries, things like that. Like, these are a little bit more routine, follow kind of a regular timeline, stay rehabbing. Of course, for those who have forgotten, and it appears virtually most of the state of California has, we're in a global pandemic. So I doubt that his rehab process is exactly the same as it used to be.
Mm-hmm.
I believe Texas is still in a global pandemic as well. It's hard to tell from state to state.
Right.
But I believe they're still in this as well. So how his knee is being rehabbed, how players who had off-season surgery are being attended to, it's not clear if it's the same exact way as it was before. I got to imagine it is at least marginally different, but that marginal could be the difference between him missing 4 weeks to start the season, 6 weeks to start the season. You know what I mean? And, and those 2 weeks start to add up in terms of games. But you've got Utah. They were an interesting team last year because Utah wound up finishing 44-28. And that was a team that a lot of people – I didn't get it, but a lot of people thought that was going to be a team that won the conference. Which I always found, like, those are the people who, like, sometimes you're trying to outthink the room a little bit. And, oh, it's not going to be the Clippers. It's not going to be the Lakers. It's going to be the Utah Jazz. Like, wait, what? You telling me the Utah Jazz are better than the superstar, you know, laced Los Angeles Lakers and Los Angeles Clippers? Now, I don't think anybody's going to make that mistake this year. But where does Utah fall in all of this? Where does Portland fall in all of this? Obviously, they went on a tremendous run. I waited all year for the run that the Trailblazers had in the bubble. I waited all regular season for that, and it felt like it was never coming. And then this was the team, remember, that said, we only want to go if we have a realistic chance to make the playoffs. If we don't have a realistic chance, there's no point in us going. They got a realistic chance, and they made the most of it. But what does that mean for this season?
I think Portland is one of those teams that are going to be like in that play-in scenario, 7, 8, 9, 10. Like, because – yeah, they're different with Nurkic there. Did I say his name right?
Barry. Nurkic. Nurkic. I couldn't say. There was a word I couldn't say last year or last week, so don't go to me.
Yeah, I would try
to say it right now, but I'll curriculum.
The big guy.
Got it.
They're different with the big guy in there, right?
Nurkic.
But
they
still don't play any defense. And they haven't, I mean, I know the moratorium has just started, but I don't even think they have a lot of money to do a whole lot, like without trading. They'd have to trade like CJ or something like that. So they don't have any cap space to get better on that end. And I see them having the same struggles that they had in the bubble as far as like not playing no defense. And you're going to need Dame to average, 60 a night? Like, nah, that's not happening.
Yeah. Well, remember, CJ had broken back. Spinal. he had that issue. Like, they, you know, it was, they got Jusuf Nurkić back, which I like. That's phenomenal. But if they've been able to heal, and I just realized I was going to make this grand proclamation about an off season, but I realized it's only been a couple of months. I don't know how long a broken back takes to heal. I'm curious. Right. Like, maybe that's a question we asked Siri here during the commercial break. But, you know, I think if you got a healthy CJ, you got a healthy Jusuf Nurkić, you don't need Damon to average 60. I think, and I know you're.
Yeah, but he's got to play.
I know you're
somebody got to play defense.
Sarcastic.
Somebody got to play defense. And they were the worst defensive team in the league. I think they were the worst defensive team in the league. In the bubble.
I think that's a rumor. I think having to have a team having to play defense in the NBA is a rumor. I think.
Sources say you have to play defense.
I think in May. It's accurate. In November, December, I don't know.
You're gonna have to, when you talk about the West that we just laid out for you, like you're not gonna just like you can't just get by on the seat of your pants here.
No, you know who's gonna play defense? Phoenix is gonna play defense. You know who might play defense? Sacramento. Teams that are fighting are gonna play defense. Fam, LeBron ain't playing defense. LeBron is not going to play defense until April or May.
No,
Kawhi, okay, the Clippers, okay. The Clippers might.
Denver
who
might.
Who knows what the hell the Clippers are doing? Denver will.
Utah will.
Malone won't allow them to do anything else.
Yeah,
and
Utah will.
There you go. Oklahoma City.
That's six. Oklahoma City's got to be out of the playoffs.
Oklahoma City's best defender.
We didn't even talk about them. They're going to be out of the playoffs. That's another playoff spot. The Warriors are going to take one.
Don't do that. Y'all
yes,
did this
they're
going to
be
year.
Out of the playoffs.
Y'all
well,
did
they don't
this
have
last
Chris Paul
year.
Coming back. And I like Kelly Oubre. I really do like Kelly Oubre. That boy can ball. But no, Ricky Rubio and Kelly Oubre are not Chris Paul.
I forgot. Was Oklahoma City, they promoted their coach from within, right? Who did Oklahoma City? Okay. All right, maybe they're out of the playoffs.
Yeah, they're out of the playoffs. Get them
out of
here.
I
know we did
last
that last
year.
Year.
I'm not going to ride that a second
absolutely,
year.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
we did
that
last
second year.
It ain't happening. Lightning ain't striking twice.
Yeah.
All right.
They ain't going to be there.
Ain't going to be there. Right? So the Warriors are going to take their spot, and then Houston will be out of the playoffs as well because I don't think James and Russell are going to be there. So,
really?
Yeah. I don't think both of them will be there. Let's put it to you that way. I don't know which one, but I don't think both of them will be there. So then that's another spot.
There's no point. There's no – if you can keep – everybody hates Russell Westbrook for some reason.
Yeah, they need to stop
that. You can keep James Harden and do whatever you know, do whatever you want with Russell Westbrook. I don't think you can keep Russell Westbrook if you're
Blow it up. You know me.
Oh, I know. Blow it all up. Yes. You like blowing things up.
Well, I just like blowing the Rockets up.
You're a Michael Bay movie. Okay. That seems like a great time to break. Ramsey, we see you on hold. You want to get on these phone lines? You absolutely can. 916-349-1320. We'll get to your calls. Plus, we're balancing Woj alerts and Shams alerts. We've got to talk about the Raiders and what they did yesterday. We've got to talk about the Dolphins. We've got to get back to the 49ers. There's a lot to cover here. We've got 45 more minutes here. D'Lo and KC on Sacramento's number one sports station, ESPN 1320.
D'Lo and KC. D'Lo and KC continues on ESPN 1320.
Remember to make your plans to be with us this coming Wednesday for our draft day special from 12 to 8. You heard that right. 12 to 8. We'll have the draft live for you. We'll have our reaction live for you. And we'll have plenty of experts on to talk about what the Kings are doing on draft night. So make your plans to be with us here on ESPN 1320 and on the radio.com app for all 8 hours from 12 to 8. KC.
Yeah, man, I'm just full of rejoiners today. I'm just full of them today. I got another tidbit. So during the break, my main man Marshall, little bro, you know what I'm saying? He's talking to me about don't disrespect Shay and all this other stuff with OKC. And then look, Shay's nice. I like Shay. That boy can ball. I don't think he's as good as De'Aaron Fox, which a lot of people were saying throughout the year, but Shay can ball. That boy can go. Ain't no way in hell Oklahoma City's making the playoffs. But I will say this.
Okay.
I saw something earlier. Between now and 2027, the Oklahoma City Thunder have 17 first-round picks.
Yeah.
That's
what? That's insane.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
They maximize their assets.
What was the rumor? Was it Chris Paul? Was it Paul George for Russell Westbrook? Was that the trade rumor?
Yeah.
Last week?
Yeah.
That's part of the reason why that idea is so insane. Like, because if you're the Clippers and you just acquired Paul George and you gave up, because remember, this was a grander, the way Doc Rivers will tell the story, and he's not wrong. When we made the deal, it wasn't a deal just to get Paul George. We had to get Paul George to get Kawhi Leonard. So look at this as a deal with Oklahoma City that would net us Paul George and Kawhi Leonard. And you dump Paul George a year later after all that you gave up to give him? It's like, I mean, I love Russell Westbrook, but Russell Westbrook is not a two-way player like Paul George is. And I know Paul George has his faults. Man, I don't know about that one. And, you know, I'm captain of the Russell Westbrook fan club, but I don't know about that one. That seems off.
If I'm the Clippers, I'm not doing that.
916-349-1320. My man Ramsey. What's going on, Ramsey?
Not too much, gentlemen. Bunch of stuff to talk about today in all different sports. But, I mean, if we stick to basketball, as you were saying in the way they're currently constructed, OKC, is probably the worst team in the West. I think the Kings are a little better than OKC in the fact Gallinari's not coming back. Mm-hmm. They're not going to re-sign him. And what do you have? What do they have other than Oubre, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, and Steven Adams?
And they're probably going to move from Steven
Adams. I was going to say they're probably going to get rid of Steven Adams.
Get three more $1 million
contract. So
Therefore, that's why I'm saying they're I feel the way they're currently constructed after this trade, they are the worst team in the Western Conference in the NBA.
And I'm telling you, man, Ramsey, you bring up a great point. I'm telling you, and they got a little more cachet because obviously they just made the playoffs and all this other stuff. Presti is willing to stink it up this year to add whoever to Shai. And, well, Oubre, I think he's an expiring contract, somebody said. But, like, if you can re-sign him and you put, I don't know, Kay Cunningham. Whew.
Oh, Lord. Whew. Here you go.
I'm telling you that's how Presti's thinking. Presti's like, we'll stink it up. Cool. We'll be top five pick. I'm telling you.
And let's not forget, they've got a new coach that they promoted from within that's coming in that I don't know if a majority of the NBA – a majority of people outside of OKC or those that are connected with the NBA really knows that much about him.
Well, I mean, and that's okay because you could say the same thing about Nick Nurse. Like, Nick Nurse was an assistant. Like, he was in there. He was in the same locker room. And I'm not even remotely suggesting Oklahoma City's going to have the same success that Toronto has. But there is some continuity there that could be very helpful for them. I'll give you 10 seconds. I know you're dying to mention Terrence Crawford before you go. Go ahead. Do you want to bring that up?
Shot clock has started.
I was about to give you I could give you a one-on-one with that. I was going to ask, what do you think was the more dominant performance this weekend? Terrence Crawford or Dustin Johnson?
Dustin Johnson.
Yeah, I didn't see Terrence Crawford, so that's a better question for my partner. But I mean, Dustin Johnson, he just absolutely brutalized the field. He brutalized that course. He was special. But I knew you had to get it in there somewhere, Ramsey. I wanted to make sure the window was open
what time
for you,
what's
brother.
What's up, man? Ramsey, all I'm going to say is the shot clock is close to expiring. All I'm going to say is Kell Brook was a shot fighter. We knew that before the fight.
Yeah.
And he showed it during the fight where the man gets hit with not even a strong jab, but a quick jab, and you go tumbling across the ring. Bro, you're done. Stop. And Terrence, I'm not giving you no credit for that. Stop it. No.
Okay.
And I like Terrence Crawford.
We need Errol Spence, Terrence Crawford in 2021 at some point.
Absolutely. And D'Lo and Casey will be there in Texas.
So I need is a buzzer to go, just hit that right there. Hey, Ramsey, thanks, man. We appreciate you.
Yes, sir. Appreciate it, gentlemen.
Ramsey, and he'll be another draft expert. Everybody can be a draft expert. We're not taking calls on Wednesday. We're just putting on draft experts, and that includes you. That includes everybody who's listening. Everybody who has an opinion on Wednesday becomes a draft expert. That's the official rule of the Wednesday show.
You know how, like, on Inside the NBA, Ernie Johnson will be like, yeah, we're here with all our experts or whatever. And then Charles Barkley will be like, stop saying that, Ernie. Only God's an expert. Well, on Wednesday, no. Everybody's an expert.
Everybody.
It's going to be the exact opposite. Everybody is a draft expert on Wednesday on D'Lo and KC. Should be fun. But let me say this too, Damian. We talked about Kings, Tank, worst team in the Western Conference, all that sort of stuff. I feel like I can make an argument where they contend for an A spot.
Kings?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
I think I can. At the very least, a 10th spot to get into that play-in situation.
9, 10, 11, 12 last year. I'm going to give you an opportunity to fine-tune this, and we'll revisit this tomorrow.
Okay.
Where you get, I want the 8-seed scenario, because your 8-seed scenario at worst would land him in the play-in scenario. And by the way, has this been approved yet? Has the play-in scenario been approved?
Nah, Woj, your boy, because I take Shams. Your boy Woj said it's just a formality.
Okay.
They're working out some kinks.
You got to stop choosing. Like, you've got to just embrace all of the insiders.
Woj,
like, it's
Woj
all
is
love.
An ESPN guy, so that should probably be my guy. Shouldn't we keep it in the family?
Yeah, let's not pretend like we're really part of the ESPN family too. Look, let's not blow the roof off this whole thing. Let's go to Tanner before we get in any trouble here. Tanner, what's going on, man?
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
What's up, Tanner?
Wanted to talk about some trade possibilities for the Sacramento Kings. I have been a Kings fan, diehard Kings fan for all 21 years of my life, and more than half of it has been upsetting. So,
poor guy.
So I just wanted to kind of talk about this this interesting, I guess, dilemma that we kind of have as Kings fans surrounding Harrison Barnes, Buddy Hield, and Bogdan Bogdanovic. Mm-hmm. Especially with Buddy Hield, it's been more of a talk since he's been the one who's been wanting out. I heard one of y'all earlier, and I'm trying to remember who it was, but just saying, just get him out of here because his contract isn't very good for us. But who are you trying to pick up with the asset of Buddy Hield?
That was me, first of all, Tanner, who said that. And look, if I had, you know, my pick or something like that, I mean, there's a number of different players that I would like. If you go down the list, like I would do a rest book for Hield trade. I would do that one. If you go to, I don't know, like a Brooklyn or something like that, like I'd give him away for Spencer Dinwiddie and Caris LeVert, something like that.
Sure.
I would do a Philadelphia trade for Josh Richardson or whatever. My number one goal would be to not bring back as much contract in return. But for the right player like a Westbrook, who makes more than Buddy, I would take on contract, right? I would do that.
Yeah.
But the biggest thing for me is he don't want to be here. The vibes are bad. And sure. I don't think he is – I don't think he's able to play up to what his contract is. So sure. I'd if you wanted to give me a bunch of draft picks and maybe one expiring contract, I'd do that to move off of Buddy Hield's contract.
Definitely. I think it's interesting because, I mean, we talk about how – phenomenal the shooter he is, and you know, thinking about the space and the spacing that the Kings want with the space and pace kind of setup. But you think about the different moments where his basketball IQ doesn't match up to his phenomenal talent. And so, for as a Kings fan, I'm thinking I don't want to pick up contracts. I'm trying to pick up players that we can surround De'Aaron Fox for the future, and try to keep players that are motivated and are just ballers. Like, they just want to go in. Like, I think of the PJ Tuckers of the world, the Patrick Beverleys, the people that are just dogs. They just want to go in. They want to play hard. Yeah. Rashawn Holmes, like, I feel like he's a king. Like, I think that he should be a king for a long time. But I've seen a lot of trade scenarios where the Kings throw him in, and it just doesn't make sense to me, because I think that he's a great center, even though he's already had injury problems and this past season with the shoulder. I don't think that's a good move for the Kings if you're trying to kind of center around that De'Aaron Fox, Rashawn Holmes kind of concept.
Well, yeah, and we appreciate you, Tanner, man. Thanks a ton for the call, man, and thank you for listening. Sure. We really appreciate it. And don't ever get twisted like what you see on social media or in stories. You haven't read a single scenario where the Kings are trading Rashawn Holmes. You haven't read a single scenario where the Kings are trading anyone, at least not something that's come from the Kings. No. Now, maybe scenarios from the Kings Herald, maybe some scenarios from The Athletic, maybe some scenarios from Jason Jones. Sure, those have been presented.
From Kenny Caraway.
But there you go. But we have no idea what Monty McNair thinks about Rashawn Holmes. We have no idea what Monty McNair thinks about Buddy Hield or this entire roster. The one thing Tanner said that got my attention, when he was talking about Buddy Hield's basketball IQ, and I always get so squeamish when talking about this because it feels like you're calling another person dumb, and I don't like doing that. But he has some shortcomings, and I don't think Buddy is this immensely talented basketball player. I think he is this extraordinary talented shooter.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there are two different things, and I've tried to make this distinction before. James Harden, he's not my favorite, but he's a really talented basketball player. Right. He's a tremendous scorer. Buddy Hield is a tremendous shooter. They're not the same thing. When Buddy Hield tries to become a scorer, he starts turning the ball over. When Buddy Hield tries to become a scorer, the offense becomes like totally standstill. When the offense is running and flowing like it did, during a brief stretch with Dave Yeager, that's where we see prime Buddy Hield. We see there's a reason Buddy Hield won the three-point contest.
Mm-hmm.
Stand, shoot. Stand, shoot.
Mm-hmm.
The more you're trying to create off the dribble, the more that you're the primary ball handler trying to create a shot for yourself, the more things are going to go wrong for Buddy.
Yeah.
Buddy has a tremendous skill set that either a coach or a front office, or maybe in the Sacramento Kings case, the combination of a front office and the coach, they need to figure out, like, hey, it could just simply boil down to this. I don't care what the hell Buddy Hield wants. He is arguably a top three shooter in the entire league. You've earned this money. We're going to put you in a position to score. I don't care if you want to play in Philadelphia. I don't care if you want to play in Chicago or Phoenix or Brooklyn or wherever. You play in Sacramento. We're going to run an offense for you, and we're going to put you in a better position than you were last year. All you have to do is buy in. Simple as that.
Hey, Buddy Hield, great offense. Everything you said is 100% correct. But I keep going back to what I saw in the bubble, and it hit me like a ton of bricks, where this Kings team – they didn't have anybody outside of De'Aaron Fox that could get their own bucket. They didn't. Buddy was shut down in the bubble. In the bubble, say what you want about, how they got invited or whatever, the level of competition, the level of intensity, that was like a mini playoff. That was a mini playoff. Those are like, that's the next level. This ain't Cleveland. This ain't going up against Atlanta. This ain't going up against whatever, Minnesota or whatever the case may be. These are the teams that are where you're trying to get. And when they turned up the intensity and they turned up the strategy for what they wanted to do defensively, they completely took Buddy Hield out of the thing, out of the game. He couldn't create his own shot. He couldn't get to the bucket. And then people would talk in the finals and the rest of the playoffs when they would see somebody like a Duncan Robinson and how the Heat were able to get him shots and get him off of screens and get him wide open looks, and they'd be like, well, why can't Luke and the Kings do that for Buddy Hield? That's all, you need the ball movement. Put him where he works best. That's all great and well. Duncan Robinson don't make $25 million a year. If you're making $25 million a year, I can't. No, I'm not looking to treat you like Duncan Robinson. Not for $25 million a year. I need you to handle the rock. I need you to be able to create offense for yourself and others. And I still need you to be able to come off them screens and knock down shots. And this is where the whole conundrum for me with Buddy comes from. If Buddy was making $12, $13 million, cool. I'm with that. $25 million, I need you to play like a $25 million player. And those guys that are making that kind of money, they're doing it on both ends. They're doing it any way you want to get it, not just the standstill shooter.
Okay. I disagree in the sense you do have my attention on the defensive end. Mm-hmm. You cannot be good on defense.
Mm-hmm.
You can't be bad. Like, you can't be the guy that your entire team pulls aside and says, dude, what the hell are you doing? Like, you can't be that guy, and I kind of feel like that's where Buddy is. But I think you can be a $25 million standstill shooter. You just can't be so bad defensive end in my position.
But if they say we're not going to leave you, which is what happened in the bubble when things got tight, they're like, well, okay, we're just not going to leave you. And you have nothing else. You try to dribble the ball. He couldn't get past Tim Hardaway Jr. Like, it was the same thing. And it was the two dribbles, step back with the left hand. Everybody was on that. He had nothing else.
Well, he shouldn't even do that. But that's where Luke Walton comes into play, where they have to actually run an offense that creates space for Buddy Hield, that allows him to be an open shooter. This is where Monty McNair comes into play, where you have to have other scoring threats on the floor besides Buddy Hield. And maybe that's Bogdanovich. Maybe it's somebody else. I don't know. But he'll certainly be the player that I think Kings fans have their eye on the closest as this week rolls along.
Absolutely. I know I do. I mean, that's where you move on.
Topics, two arguments, no winners. One-on-one with D'Lo and KC.
I can't lie, I'm a little sad that we've only gotten like one major deal. Like, I was really expecting at least four or five by now. Like, I thought these teams had been colluding behind closed doors. Like, we're going to get this done. The second Adam says you guys can go, we're going.
Yeah.
And all we got was the Chris Paul one, which was rumored last week. And it was like, oh, that's interesting. Like, all right, cool. And then that's the first day deal. It's like, wait a minute. So if this is any indication as to what free agency is going to be like on Friday, I want a refund.
Oh, well, Bruce Brown don't mean nothing to you?
No. I'm sorry, he doesn't.
Wow. The disrespect. So, like,
he doesn't.
That was a big-time deal.
What does Bruce Brown mean to you?
I don't know.
That was a play on the UPS. You didn't even get it. What does Bruce Brown mean to you? Come on, man.
That's bars right there, Dan. That is bars. And it went over my head. I had to listen to that track twice.
There you go. The bars went over my head. Sometimes you really appreciate the album the second time through. Let's get back to the NFL here as Kenny and I go one-on-one here on this Monday. Did we learn... Let me rephrase the question that I have on our rundown, because I wrote, did we learn why Jameis Winston isn't a starter yesterday? Let me rephrase that a little bit. Did we learn anything about Jameis Winston yesterday in his time against the San Francisco 49ers?
We learned that he's probably actually the backup quarterback. That's about it.
And it's not Taysom Hill, as long as the depth chart has said otherwise.
Yeah, that's all we learned. I mean, look, Jameis almost gave a couple of picks away in his limited time yesterday.
He sure did.
So he is who he is. I think that's why he's not a starter. on a good team. If he was on, I don't know, if he was, you know, on the Jets or something like that, yeah, he could start for the Jets. You know what I mean? He could start for, I was going to say the Lions, but he's not better than Matt Stafford. You know, he can start for teams
like that.
Anyone
can start for the Jets. Yes. As long as Joe freaking Flacco is under center, anybody can start for the Jets.
You're right. You're right
you,
about that.
You listening right now, you. No, don't look around. You can start for the Jets. As long as Joe Flacco is the quarterback, anybody can start for that team. Jameis is, I don't know why I thought Jameis would be better in a different uniform. Like, it wasn't that he was bad yesterday. And, like, I mean, he didn't expect to play in that game. And I know, hey, you always got to be ready. Like, I get all of that. I credit the San Francisco 49ers defense because I think they played really well.
Mm-hmm.
But you just saw those, like, the Jimmy Ward one, at least that's at least one. He had at least one other one. It wasn't as egregiously dropped as the Jimmy Ward one was, but he threw a couple of passes where it's like, hey, Jameis Winston is out there. Look at him. He's trying to rack up that interception total. He's going full Jameis on him, because when I saw him come out after halftime, I thought, oh, okay, obviously I want the 49ers to win this game, but I'm curious to see what we get from Jameis Winston. And he's going to play. By the way, the injury, I mean, the cracked ribs, the collapsed lung, like, this is amazing to say. Cracked ribs, collapsed lung, optimistic scenario for Drew Brees is 2 to 3 weeks.
Wow.
Again, according to, you know, the people reporting on this, that is the optimistic scenario. Obviously, optimism will change depending on how many of those three games that they lose. Mm-hmm. They had Teddy Bridgewater under center last year when Drew Brees went out, and they mm-hmm. didn't lose a single game.
Right.
Jameis Winston is not Teddy Bridgewater.
Right.
So we'll see what Jameis Winston is able to do, because I got to imagine it's not going to be Taysom Hill that's the starting quarterback. It's going to be Jameis Winston moving forward.
And Drew ran back. He ran back when Teddy started winning them games. He's like, I think my thumb feels better, coach. Get me back in there. Teddy's like 5-0. Get me back in there. So,
yeah
Jameis. Look, I never thought Jameis was trash. Like, it was the gift and the curse. It was the gift and the curse with Jameis. He'll do some things that was like, man, that's pretty nice. And then he'll do some things that's like, what the hell were you thinking?
That's just who he is. They've got the Falcons next week, and he does, you know, I know it's cliche, but he's got a week to prepare.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, he's not going to be, you know, thrust in there at halftime. And remember, after getting hit by Kontavious Street, he kept playing. Drew Brees kept playing.
He
looked rattled. And I think I saw another, you know, report here. Sorry, I didn't relay this one earlier. He being Drew Brees, pronouns, pal, he had a cracked rib entering the game.
Mm.
So
and that hit didn't do nothing to help.
Yeah, that must have just been the one that said lung exit here. And I don't really know exactly what a collapsed lung is. All I just envision is your lung is here, and then all of a sudden it collapses. It's not there anymore.
I don't either. I think, and this can't be right, because it seems like it'd be more dangerous. Is a collapsed lung, wouldn't it, like, say your lung is like a balloon or something like that, and collapse means like the air would come out of it a little bit. Not that it would fall into your stomach, but the air would come out and it would kind of sink a little bit.
It's just down there by your pelvis. Like, is there a doctor listening who can explain to us?
Now, that seems crazy. I'm picturing that visual right now of, like, what you say a collapsed lung is. That's crazy.
Sitting by your pelvis.
That it just falls down, just hangs down.
Well, when you say something collapses, what does that mean?
I would think the air in your lungs would collapse in. So, like, almost, it doesn't do this, but, like, if your lung had a dent in it, that's what I'm thinking of a collapsed lung.
We're talking about 2 to 3 weeks. Oh, yeah, we're just. So how do you fix that? Do you just go in there and lift the lung back up where it's supposed to be? Like, how does this work? I don't understand.
If that's what a collapsed lung is, I don't know if that's what a collapsed lung is, Damien. Do the visual in your head of what you're saying. Like, your lung just starts hanging down by your ribs.
But one of them is cracked, so it sunk even further. A collapsed lung happens when air enters the Jesse, what are you texting me?
Plural.
He's sending me some Google thing. Like, go to WebMD and give me explain this to me like I'm five. so we have a better understanding of this. Falcons, mm-hmm. Broncos, mm-hmm. Falcons. Those are the next three games for the Saints of New Orleans. After that, remember what Mike Triplett said about them running the table? There's a reason he said that. The fourth game is... I just clicked off it too quick. Sorry. The fourth game is Philadelphia. Oof. Week 15. This is the one that you've got to pay attention to. It's the Kansas City Chiefs.
Oh, yeah. That's a loss anyway.
Well, I'm just saying. They've got the Vikings after that. Who knows? Like, you're of this weird mindset that the Vikings are going to make a run. Like, I don't know what's wrong with you.
They win tonight. They're like a game out of the seventh playoff spot.
Cool story, bro. And they've got the Saints after that. So, you know, with the exception of that Week 16 game, it's not the most, you know, brutal schedule ahead for the New Orleans Saints.
They can leave Drew Brees out into the playoff starts. I don't think it'll make a difference. Like, they're going to lose the Chiefs game regardless, and they'll probably win the other ones regardless.
However, not everybody is going to Jimmy Ward those Jameis Winston gifts.
That's true.
So, you know, what was it, a 13, 14-point game when Jimmy Ward dropped that interception? Catches that. I mean, of course, that would require Nick Mullins to do something on the offensive end, which is probably an entirely different conversation. So we'll just move along.
Man, yeah. We're going to stay in the NFL here because it is Monday. Got to talk about the NFL. The Steelers, they beat up on the Bengals again. I know you had your eye on this game. I said I didn't see it. You know what I mean? I knew where you were coming from, Damien. I understood where you were coming from, but I didn't think that was the day that it was going to go down, right? So Steelers go to 9-0 after beating up on Joe Burrow and the Bengals. Questions are now starting to be asked. They've got to be asked. Do you see the Steelers going 16-0?
Unless you have evidence of me saying I had an eye on this game, then I'm just going to
radio.com app.
I don't know what I was thinking. I just thought, watch the rookie show out. Oh, not so much. I don't believe any team is going to go 16-0, just like I don't believe any team is going to go 0-16.
Well, you're wrong on the second one.
I'm starting to wonder. Like, I might be after watching the Jets throw the game against the Patriots the other night. Like, you very well may be accurate. The toughest game ahead for the Steelers is the Ravens. Isn't it?
You think the Ravens are better than the Bills in Buffalo?
Yes, I think the Ravens are better than the Bills anywhere in the country.
What about your Colts?
Yeah, my Colts, they've got my attention there. And that the bottom line is it doesn't matter who they play. The answer is no. They're not going 16-0. Like, they're not. They could get beat by the Browns. They could get beat by Alex Smith and the Washington football team. Sunday, like, it's going to happen. No, they're not going 16-0, and it doesn't matter who the best team is on their schedule. It doesn't matter if it's the Ravens, the Bills, or the Colts. It doesn't matter if it's the Cleveland Browns, the last game of the season. They're not going 16-0. No.
I think they lose to the Bills. I think that's their first loss.
Like, what do you got them going, 15-1? They're going to lose. They're probably going to lose a couple of games here as the season comes to.
If they lose to the Bills, they might rest up for like the Colts and the Browns. But see, one of the things about this is because there's not two byes, like the number one seed actually means something between them and Kansas City.
Yeah,
you know, they could really be duking it out.
That's a playoff dynamic. We probably should be spending a lot more time talking about, because we keep talking about the seventh spot, and that's probably because of the position that the San Francisco 49ers are in. But when you're talking about these elite teams like Kansas City and where Pittsburgh is at right now, and even this, you know, this fight between the Packers, the Saints, the Bucks, most of the NFC West.
Right.
There's only one bye available, and I believe the stat, you know, you don't get to the Super Bowl without a bye. Like, the last team to do it, Giants,
I think,
maybe?
It was the Ravens, maybe. The Ravens didn't have a bye, I don't think.
When
they beat the Niners.
The Joe Flacco-led? Well,
yeah, I don't think
it doesn't happen very often, then.
No, you're absolutely right. Now,
that wild card run that we know the Giants made twice. But
yeah, absolutely. The other thing about this is, I say, you know, they're going to be fighting for the one seed. If this COVID playing with an eighth playoff team comes into play. I'm not sure. Do they get the two buys back now? Like the top two teams with the bye back? Because I think that would
make sense.
Yeah, for like scheduling of the first round. Like you need would have six teams playing, and if you didn't have a bye for the second seed, that means seven teams would be playing, right? So you'd have to have a bye.
What is the percentage that you think they're gonna do this eighth playoff team, no matter what?
100.2% It's happening.
I feel like they floated it out there so early in the season without a single game being canceled or without a single... Well, yeah, no game has been canceled. They've been rescheduled. No game has been canceled. No week has been canceled. No marquee game has been missed. And as we pointed out earlier, it is miraculous. Every single Monday, there's multiple COVID tests. There are players move to the COVID watch list every single Monday, but never on Sunday. Never, ever, ever on Sunday. It's just an extraordinary fate that the NFL seems to have.
Got me doing
on their
Idris Elba gif.
Do you have you really love that Idris? Like, I mean,
it fits everything.
I mean,
maybe the greatest gif ever made.
I strongly disagree, but you're kind of at that point of overuse. Like, you use that bad boy a lot. Okay, where would you put here? Here's my next question to you. Where is Kyler Murray in KC's prestigious MVP rankings? Because we've got the quarterback rankings for the San Francisco 49ers. We got the power rankings. Those are coming up tomorrow. Mm-hmm. But we don't have an official MVP rankings segment. We know that Patrick Mahomes has got to be at the top now, right? That's not debatable.
No.
Where's Kyler?
I got Kyler at number two, man. He jumped over Russ, man, because Kyler is putting together a magical season in Arizona.
You're right and you're wrong at the same time.
Huh?
Russ, like, you know the lung that Drew Brees has that collapsed? That's what Russell Wilson did. He collapsed in the MVP rankings. Like he just I don't know if it was there was a crack and he fell through it, but yeah, Russ's last 3 weeks have been not what the first seven were.
Yeah.
They've been a rough go for him, and he'll have to play extraordinarily well. And the thing with, well, both of these teams, really all three of these teams, is you've got to have wins accumulate with the way that you're playing. Mm-hmm. We saw it with Lamar Jackson. We mentioned Kyler Murray has better numbers than Lamar Jackson had last year. Yeah. His team isn't, you know, the same, you know, threat at this point in the season that Baltimore appeared to be last year. And again, this was around the time, week 10, this was around the time that Lamar Jackson really started ramping up in his MVP case. But right now, the way that Patrick Mahomes is playing, there's no other conversation. But Kyler Murray is right up there, I think, directly behind him.
So I got a question for you because, I mean, I was literally just kind of, like, it just hit me as you were asking me this question about, like, contenders for the MVP and everything. And everybody knows how I feel about this guy. I'm not a fan, but in all fairness, we're just not going to talk about Big Ben. Got a team at 9-0, 2,267 yards, 22 touchdowns, 4 picks, 9-0. Just, we haven't mentioned him once this year.
Well, I mentioned him one time.
Okay.
And I think it was Sunday. No, it was very recently. And all that I mentioned about him was the Russell Wilson storyline about never receiving an MVP vote. Mm-hmm. Neither has Ben Roethlisberger. Mm-hmm. Ben Roethlisberger has never received a vote for MVP. So, oh man, that's a good. That's
is he
a
third?
Good...
Is he ahead of Russ? I think he might be.
Yeah, he's ahead of Russ. Russ is in bad shape. If it was the defense losing, right? Yeah. Like if it was just the defense losing, Russ might be knocked down a little bit with the Seattle Seahawks losing. Mm-hmm. But he's turning the ball over, dude, and he's turning it over a lot. That's eliminating. Like, one of the, you know, jarring numbers that he had was his, you know, 20-something touchdowns to, like, 3 or 4 interceptions. Yeah. It's not 3 or 4 anymore. Like, it's a lot more. So, nah, my power rankings are Patrick Mahomes, Kyler Murray, Ben Roethlisberger. But if you asked, you know, I think a lot of other people, they might go Ben Roethlisberger at number two.
Yeah. Yeah, that I would see that as being pretty fair too. Big game on Thursday, Cardinals Seahawks. Big game.
Yeah.
Because the Seahawks are looking like what I thought they were. Like I told you they were at the beginning of the season.
Calm down.
Average.
Down.
Settle absolutely down. Average.
Do your stupid question.
Well, that leads into my question. NFC West, 6-3 Cardinals, 6-3 Seahawks, 6-3 Rams, 4-6 49ers. Who do you have winning the NFC West?
The Seahawks, jerk.
Wow. Now are you what? Out of your mind? Play the music. Play the music.
Is this? I really need to know.
Hit it.
Yeah.
Hit it.
Sorry. Sorry. No.
They not gonna be there.
I know. No, I'm not giving up on the Seahawks season yet. Who's the best team? And then I still think the Seahawks win the division.
Here's the thing about the Seahawks. I don't think they're very good. I've mentioned that. It's proven to be
since
true.
Since week one. You've mentioned that since week one, but thank you.
But their remaining schedule, very favorable. They got the Cardinals, which is going to be tough. But then they got the Eagles, Giants, Jets, Redskins, or football team, sorry, before they play the Rams and then the Niners. They've got what are they, 6-3 right now?
Yep.
I think they got 4 locks for wins. And maybe if you want to throw the Niners in there, 5 locks. And that's before you talk about Cardinals or Rams. So they're going to get to 10, 11, maybe 12 wins. With that being said, I think they're going to win the NFC West.
Their defense is by far the worst in the division. You know whose defense might not be getting enough attention? You were talking about, you know, the apple of your eye earlier, the Rams.
With that guy 20 back there, he's a game changer, and that's right. What I need. People talk about quarterback. I understand. Quarterback is special. I need a Jalen Ramsey in that secondary to just – take away a side of the field. Changes everything.
I love when you get your heart set on something. Like, you just get so passionate about
Jalen it. Jalen Ramsey and Jalen Green. That's what I need in my life.
Only 6 more months of this, everyone. 6 more months of Kenny Caraway pleading for a shutdown corner. We appreciate you so much for being with us. As we promise, this is going to be an incredible week here on D'Lo and Casey. We hope that you're back with us tomorrow. We hope that you don't go anywhere. Damon Rattle and Kolsky are coming up next here on Sacramento's home of 49ers football, ESPN 1320.
Holla.